The first scripture I'd like to share with you today is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. May we together hear God's word. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Our second reading is a continuation of this same chapter and verses 8 through 20. Again, may we hear the word of the Lord to us. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Because I usually stand at a pulpit on Sunday mornings, and yet families are gathered around their homes on Christmas Eve, I'd like to speak to you this morning from my favorite chair, a rocking chair. And maybe we can imagine for a little while that we are together in our living room. So here we are, actually at our 10th Christmas together as a church family since December the 7th of 2014. For some of you, this also makes over 9 years that you have been a part of this church family. And for some of you, it's been almost 14 years since you have known my wife and myself after we arrived in Charleston in March of 2010. You know, it doesn't seem possible to think that it's been almost 14 years since our arrival in Charleston. But it has been a privilege to serve Christ Church in the Lowcountry. Every year, I am grateful for the blessings and gifts that I have received from God and from you. He has put you and me together in this church family all these years. Now, until recently, I've almost always known beforehand at Christmas time what gifts that I'm receiving every year. Somehow, through hook or crook, I find out. Maybe you do this kind of thing too. You snoop around the tree. But is that really so bad? You know, God's people knew that the Messiah would come as a great gift to them someday. It was no secret. The prophets foretold it. They also foretold many of the details of the coming of the Messiah, the gifts and the blessings that he would bring to his people. In the New Testament, we read about that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago when the Messiah came to earth. And in those accounts, we hear about the blessings and the gifts that the Messiah brought to his people. And therefore, those gifts that are for you and me as well. And I'd like to share 7 of those blessings and gifts with you on this Christmas Eve. So let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, may the wonder of Christmas come alive through faith and by hearing the Word of God. Let us never forget that our Savior came as an infant born to a virgin, and the salvation that you offer to us through him. Fill our hearts now with the true meaning of Christmas and the presence of the Christ child among us all. I pray that we would receive these gifts today that you have provided to the world. I pray that through Christ, who came and will come again, we will find eternal life and new life, beginning now and lasting forever. In Jesus we pray. Amen. What does it mean to say that Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us? Well, first of all, when I hear that God is with us, it surely means for me personally that he will see me through whatever trials and problems I have in my life, and he will be there even when I'm rejoicing, and he will never leave me, even though at times I may feel like I've been discarded or even abandoned. Maybe some of you have lost a loved one this year, and Christmas is never going to be the same for you or your family. Maybe you or a member of your family is struggling with something, health issues. Maybe you've gone through a breakup or divorce, or you've lost a job or lost your income. No matter what we endure, we can look at God's gifts in Christ and know that God never deserts his children, his people, or his church, even when times seem most difficult. You see, Jesus promised in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in John 10:28, Jesus said, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. So not only will Jesus never leave us when times get tough, but he saves us. He saves us to the uttermost. Friends, no one can take away your salvation once you receive it. Don't ever be afraid of losing your life eternal in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Because you see, God with us means that our salvation consists of spending an eternity in his presence. So God is with us forever. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he wasn't just speaking about how to come to God, but he promised, I am life. And life can only be in God and with his only begotten Son, our Lord. That's why Jesus is our life, now and always. And so the first gift that we are offered at Christmas is a profound one. And it describes our life now and forevermore. God with us. In those ancient days of Roman occupation and rule, many people experienced tremendous fears. And there were many good reasons for those fears. And maybe today you are afraid. There's good reasons today, I think, to say that we might live in fear. But there was another gift I'd like to share with you that is found in the Messiah. The angels said to the shepherds, in announcing that birth of the baby, do not be afraid. And multitudes of the heavens saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace dispels fear. Now, how could heaven's angels announce peace to that troubled, war-filled world without first vanquishing all the violence in the world. Well, the reason is Christ's peace is something that is inward and divine. Only Christ's peace can quiet our inner voices of fear. Epictetus, a first century pagan writer, expressed it this way. While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion and grief and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, which men yearn for more than outward peace. You see, Christ's peace surpasses all human understanding. And Christ's peace does not originate from the absence of conflict or trial. After all, ceasefires will cease, and peace treaties will be broken. Lasting peace comes only from knowing the Prince of Peace and from following him in your life. And yet there was one qualifier that we hear for God's peace that the heavenly multitude sang about from heaven. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace among men with whom he is well pleased." If we have known and read that it is faith that pleases God, we realize that God's gift of divine peace comes only to those who have faith and trust in him, who trust and believe in the God of divine peace and in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So nations will never know peace until they accept the Prince of Peace. Jesus promised his faithful followers, "My peace give I unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be fearful. Believe in God, believe also in me." So the second part that God has granted to believers is his peace. Regardless of the circumstances and the trials we face, believe in Jesus Christ and receive God's peace, regardless of any wars or rumors of wars. The angel also said, "For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, and that joy is indeed at the heart of Christmas, the joy of good news." What brings you the greatest joy in your life? Maybe it's a doctor's clean bill of health. Maybe it's a long vacation someplace you've always wanted to go. Maybe it's power or popularity or praise for you. Is it a rising stock market or all the things that money can buy? Money cannot buy happiness, and it may not even help. Money does not ensure a quality of life or a quantity of life, and it cannot bring deep, lasting joy. Only God can do that in our hearts. Here's what Paul said as he edged towards the conclusion of his letter to the young Timothy. This was his first letter to Timothy. He wrote, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Indeed, to live like the world lives will bring sorrow in our lives. So when Mary visited Elizabeth, and they both knew that Mary was going to give birth to the Messiah, Mary sang joyfully from her heart, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble, and he has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent away the rich empty-handed." You see, the joy that God gives us is far different than anything else we can place in our hands, anything else that people have longed for in this life to bring them momentary happiness. God's joy is far more profound, and even the poor and humble Mary was filled with joy. So we can spend all our time working for things that we can't take with us, and will not permanently bring us joy, or we can cling to another answer, that people's joy isn't in expensive presents under the tree, but it's the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." God is offering this third gift, the good news of great joy, and it's for everyone. It's a divine joy, but it's only found through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the angel also said, "I bring you good news, which shall be for all people." You could just feel the love of God in that announcement. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, the natural man or the natural woman will not offer you unconditional love. The world, the natural world, will dangle a carrot before you, so to speak, that goes like this. If you do what I want you to do, then I will care about you, or I will like you, or I will love you. In the world's philosophy, love must first benefit the one who claims to love before it benefits anyone else. And the world will teach you that, oh, by golly, if you're going to have a relationship with anyone, you have to give 50-50, and they have to give 50-50, or your relationship is doomed. And you and I are advised by Hollywood to find a significant other who approves of everything that we do and supports us in everything that we do, no matter what it is. And yet, if anything goes wrong, we are just to leave and fall in love and go find a new right person. But praise the Lord that these shallow behaviors do not reflect in any way Christ's deep, deep love and sacrificial love for us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. His love benefited his people, not himself. His love benefited his people. And he gave up his life for their salvation. And he didn't tell them that everything they did was right. You see, God's love is the kind of love that is truthful, and it sacrifices itself for others, even the ones who hated him. The story is told of a Maria Dyer who was born in 1837. She was born on the mission field in China, where her parents were pioneer missionaries. But both her parents died when Maria was a little girl, and she was sent back to England to be raised by an uncle. The loss of her parents, however, did not deter this young heart from the importance of sharing the gospel which she had learned. And so at the age of 16, she, along with her sister, returned to China to work in a girls' school as a missionary herself. And 5 years later, she married Hudson Taylor, a man well known today for his life and ministry, faith, and sacrifice. Well, Hudson and Maria's work was often criticized, and even by other Christians. At one point, Maria wrote, "As to the harsh judgments of the world or the more painful misunderstandings of Christian brethren, I generally feel that the best plan is to go on with our work and leave God to vindicate our cause." Well, of their 9 children born to them, only 4 survived to adulthood. Maria herself died of cholera when she was only 43 years old. And yet she believed that the cause she worked for was worthy of her sacrifice. And on her grave marker, these words were inscribed: "For her to live was Christ, and to die was gain." Paul once said that of all the gifts that were given, the greatest of these is love. Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends." Have you experienced Christ's sacrificial love? Have you experienced true, unconditional love in your life? I believe each one of us long for it. God is offering you this fourth gift. God has offered His unconditional love, His eternal love, sacrificial love, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The shepherds said to each other, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came, it says, with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as had been told them, as the baby was lying in a feeding trough. And after they saw him, it says they made known the things that had been told them about this child. The boldness of these shepherds is a model for all good witnesses to Christ in our world. They simply shared what they had heard, what they had seen. They told others what they had experienced firsthand, not through someone else, but what they themselves personally knew about. We should be more like the shepherds. You don't have to be a biblical expert and memorize vast books of the Bible. The shepherds didn't. Before you can share what Jesus has done in your life and the revelation He's revealed to you. That is all God requires of us as His witnesses. If you think about it, all four Gospels are simply the record of what the disciples had heard and seen and experienced of Jesus. Yes, we should grow and learn more about Jesus Christ, but initially, all we need to do is share what He's done for us. And they made known the things that God had told them. Christmas is not fully Christmas, I don't think, without announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. You can't have Christmas without it. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Start by sharing with someone about Christ and what He's done for you personally. That's Christmas. Who can legitimately refute your own personal testimony? They can't because they weren't there. And if you sincerely ask God to reveal to whom you are supposed to witness to about Jesus, He will reveal that person to you. And there are so many people that only you can reach. No one else, just you. Don't say in your heart that the preacher needs to do this or some evangelist can tell them all about it. God is asking you. No pastor, no evangelist can reach all people. Even Jesus didn't do that. So I believe there's someone who will only come to know Christ if you give them personally an invitation. So part of the good news of the Christmas story is that Jesus has made us His witnesses. You have the privilege to speak about a holy God and His salvation. And this is actually a gift, a blessing. So this is the fifth gift that God has granted to believers, to be His witnesses, to make known the things that have been told you about the Christ child. You know, in this world, there are billions of people that worship God or worship gods. And if you didn't believe that mankind was created to worship God, then you might have a hard time explaining why there's so much worship in our world. Could it be that God has indeed made mankind and placed a hole in their heart that's only satisfied when you worship your Creator, just like the Bible says? You know, it really doesn't matter nearly as much how much you've achieved in life or how much money you've earned, because you and I will never be totally fulfilled until we worship the one true God. There are no substitutes for that. There is nothing that takes God's place in worship. Jesus said that the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you and I worship Him in spirit and truth, the one true God? You know, the whole purpose of creation is to bring glory to God and enjoy Him forever. And in His kingdom of heaven, worship is going to continue. So we might as well get accustomed to it right now. Why do I mention this at Christmas? Well, That's simple. The heavenly hosts sang praises to God, we read. The shepherds came with great haste to where the baby lay, and it says they worshiped him. That little, humble, cave-like manger became the first Christian sanctuary. And it didn't have stained glass windows or high church steeples or padded pews. And after the shepherds saw the child, it says they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. All of that is true worship. And so I thank God for people who choose to be here every week in church, who bring children and grandchildren and friends and family in order to worship our Lord and Savior. They will fit right in heaven, because heaven is all about God's worship. And you can always tell, I think, the people who truly love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the people who worship him in spirit and in truth. And so this is also a great gift to us, that God has given us to be with us. And wherever he is with us, we are to worship him. That is nothing less than heaven on earth. The last gift that I would like to share with you today is the gift that God has given us. The scripture says is a gift, and that is faith. When the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds began saying to each other, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They believed the Lord. They believed the angel. They believed the multitudes of heaven. They didn't doubt any of that. The shepherds believed, and then they acted upon their belief, their faith. They rushed to the manger scene. And imagine that. They left their flocks out in the open fields and came to that manger. That takes faith. As Jesus promised us, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. And do it. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." So faith is a great gift, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Christmas 2023. I am full of hope and faith, because God has granted me faith, and he's granted you faith to believe and accept all these gifts that he's given to us. They are all blessings. And he's given us peace and joy and love and witness and worship and faith and God with us, his divine presence with us. And I believe that God will continue to be with this church and be with you and bless us all with these gifts if we will receive them all. And so I have great hopes, great faith and expectations for the future, not because of me or you, but because we serve a great and gracious God, a God that has granted us abundant life and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if you would like to receive these gifts through faith in Jesus Christ, then please stand with me now as we sing the Christmas carol, "O Come, All You Faithful." To God be all the praise and glory. Amen.